For the marketers, what is helpful is that we are able to evaluate the metrics to a great extent, because otherwise it was pretty difficult to know, if the message has reached the customer, or whether it has been helpful, how has been the impact. Content is king, as you would also agree. Then unless one is adding value, no one would want to consume the content, be it patients or even healthcare professionals. Basically, the economy from a generative AI perspective will grow by around $13 trillion, which is like huge, by 2030, and all industries will have to move towards adoption.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to yet another episode of The Growth Genius, where we bring to you growth stories in marketing and business. The Growth Genius is powered by InfiDigit, the SEO specialists. In today's episode, we bring to you a healthcare veteran who has played a major role in sales and marketing and is currently heading women's health in Bayer Healthcare. Please join me in welcoming Ms. CG Nair Call to The Growth Genius episode. CG, welcome to The Growth Genius. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here, and thanks a lot for your time.
Thanks, Mehul. Looking forward to this discussion, and thanks for the opportunity as well.
Great. So, CG, to start with, you have been in Bayer for quite some time now. Can you tell us more about your role?
Yeah, sure, Mehul. I've been with Bayer for quite some time, and it's been into marketing. So currently, I'm into this role wherein I head the marketing for the Women's Health Division of Bayer. It's a stimulating role. Why I call it stimulating is because, being in the healthcare segment, whatever actions we take, we know that it's towards health for all. And I know that there's tremendous potential. Whatever actions we take, it would impact not just millions of women each year, since I'm into women's health, but also their families. Now, this is because you would agree that when a woman is unwell, it impacts the entire family ecosystem. So the challenge is to go beyond conventional principles and to innovate, to understand the challenges that are faced by the healthcare professionals and even the women, especially in the therapeutic areas that we are operating in. And this involves designing strategies, short-term as well as long-term, getting initiatives to address the needs that would support these strategies, and which then gets executed by an inspired team. Every day is a new day, and with challenges and a lot of opportunities, and there is so much to do. Beyond that, there's the people angle, which is really interesting, which is the cross-functional effort that's required, the collaboration that's required, the teamwork, and also to work in small and large teams. So yeah, that's about the current role that I am in Bayer.
Quite interesting. And yeah, I mean, women's health is something that is actually picking up steam now. So obviously a lot of things to do in that space, I'm sure. So having said that, CG, I wanted to understand, what are the burning issues in women's health now? And what are your insights?
So, the topmost issue that we have in women's health, I think, is about awareness, especially amongst women, because women suffer from multiple health issues, and many a times the symptoms are considered normal due to the myths existing in the society and, which has been passed down from generation to generation. For example, that pain during periods is normal is one of the common myths that's there. And because of this, many women suffer in silence. And there are other issues like PCOS, as I mentioned, pain during periods, that's endometriosis, menstrual issues or irregularities, like heavy bleeding, anemia, peri and postmenopausal issues. So these are some of the issues, to name a few. And these vary through the reproductive cycle of women, through the journey that women have to go through. So what's important here, my outlook would be basically initiatives that work towards awareness, which is the need of the hour, companies are speaking out with the help of social media, with healthcare professionals, women as influencers, who are playing a very important role in increasing the noise level. And there are other femtech companies which have also, players which have also come in, who are building platforms for better access. So educating women, so basically debunking the myths, reducing the stigma that's associated. These are very critical factors. And more importantly, once this is done, I'm pretty sure this encourages more women to come forward and talk to their healthcare professionals or seek help in diagnosis and even management of the condition. Thankfully for now, like because of all these initiatives, there are more and more women who are prioritizing themselves and their health. And it's heartening to see that this is happening. So for women, as well as for men, probably, you know, I think what I believe is we should all wear our oxygen masks first, you know, and then take care of others. And this applies to our health very much. So if there's a health issue, go seek help. I think that's what I would want to say here.
Nicely summarized, CG. And in Bayer, you are actually in the D2C business as well, right? So in women's health particularly, how do you reach out, you know, to your audience? Because, you know, there are restrictions in advertising and marketing as far as your industry is concerned. So how do you manage that?
True. So D2C business, as you rightly mentioned, in general in women's health currently is a growing business. And with increase in awareness, as we just discussed, there are more women who are seeking help. And some of these D2C business models in general include menstrual hygiene products like pads, menstrual cups, period panties, etc. Then in reproductive health products are also there, like pregnancy kits, fertility tracking devices. Sexual health products are available now, and self-care products including skincare and supplements. So these are some of the common things. For these businesses, like, you know, we've seen a rise now, and how these operate is through, again, I think mostly social media is a channel that's widely used through influencers, you know, and bringing in awareness about these issues. That's how it works. And with Femtech also coming in, there are platforms available which talk about services like yoga, consultation, diet, which kind of supplement the health issues. So like while these channels are using social media, in prescription products, you know, it's pretty different. So we don't have any direct to consumer like products at least, but our D2C is primarily to see how we can bring in awareness amongst the audiences. So this would be from a public awareness perspective, that how women can be empowered, or, you know, the audiences can be empowered to seek support or to ask, go and consult the right doctor. Doctors would then decide the therapy based on what is best from the patient's interest, and then, you know, recommend a therapy that is manage the situation, manage their condition. Thereafter, so when the patient gets a prescription, then they would go and buy it. But right now it is through e-pharmacies, which would be done. But otherwise, there's no direct company to consumer in a prescription business, because advertisements are not generally allowed for most of the therapeutic areas. So it is through the doctors that, you know, these are marketed.
Got it. And otherwise, if you were to look at online platforms, you know, you talked about, you know, creating awareness as well, which is, I think, the stepping stone, you know, in terms of addressing these issues. How do you, you know, reach out to your audience? Can be women as well as men, as you mentioned, you know, awareness is for all, basically for women's health, but the awareness per se has to reach to everyone. So how do you use online platforms to, you know, reach out to your audience?
So currently we are looking at a very, considering these are not mass, you know, kind of a reach. So we are looking at very targeted approach, and these would be through awareness, through social media, through, you know, through doctors, you know, through in-clinic education. So these are some of the channels that are used. But if I have to talk about our customers, which are also the healthcare professionals, So there we have a different approach wherein we look at integrated multi-channel marketing that's done to these healthcare professionals. So basically, when I say integrated multi-channel marketing, these would combine multiple channels. Direct, one is direct through our teams, through digital, through approved emails, through remote calls, and also through other educational platforms that are available for healthcare professionals. This ensures consistency in messaging, and also the frequency of messaging is kind of ensured. And for the marketers, what is helpful is that we are able to evaluate the metrics to a great extent, because otherwise it was pretty difficult to know, if the message has reached the customer, or whether it has been helpful, how has been the impact. So that is one thing that's really good. What is important, I think, is content. Okay, content is king, as you would also agree. And unless one is adding value, no one would want to consume the content, be it patients or, even healthcare professionals. So the role of a marketer now is also more critical, to bring in content that address the needs of these customers, consumers. And this would involve, in a prescription product, it would involve strong scientific data, real world evidences, which are the latest updates and insights that can support the healthcare professionals to design a journey for their patients, which would aim at bettering the quality of life for them based on their needs and their condition. And other than this, for us, reaching out also means garnering insights through market research, customer interactions, advisory meetings, thought leader engagements, understanding patient journeys, which are specific to the therapeutic areas. And this is achieved through, all the functions coming together, and using these channels to reach out to the customers. So it's basically an integrated approach, and execution of understanding and execution becomes very, very critical for a successful engagement with the customers, be it doctors or be it the public.
Got that. So there are multiple touch points, not just one, which actually help you to, gather a lot of information in terms of, how the market is responding to the product, right?
Right.
Having said that, CG, I wanted to know if you can share any consumer insights, based on whatever activities you have been doing at Bayer.
Sure. Some of the consumer insights would be one I had just mentioned, patients think it's normal to have pain during periods. Yeah, women think it's normal to have pain during periods, and sometimes some of the challenges that they face is they might go to healthcare professionals and not knowing what their issue is. And many a times it also happens that some of these conditions are not so easy to diagnose. So therefore, they may not get a diagnosis immediately, and then they would live with that condition. And then this impacts their quality of life, in what work they are doing, with a lot of restrictions, a lot of things that they can't do, a lot of professions that they cannot take. So this is a pretty serious, implication which is there, which, when we look at a woman who is suffering from such condition, we might not know what all things go. There are a lot of psychological issues, impact which is there, with women, with their families, with the doctors also, that they don't know what, they may not come to know what the woman is going through. So these are some of the insights which are there, which we, built in, or we try and understand and help the entire, it's not just sharing the insights with the doctors. So the doctors also are sensitized. Women also become aware, okay, when we tell them that it's not normal. And we have campaigns towards it, one of the campaigns which is public that I can share, that's Let's Talk Endometriosis, which is an initiative wherein we are encouraging more and more women to come forward and speak about their condition, so that it can increase the awareness amongst other women. And also, doctors also are sensitized to speak to their patients to try and understand if patients are going through these issues. So this is like one example which is there. There are similar such initiatives which are there for other therapeutic areas. Like one such public initiative which is known is Preserve the Uterus, you know, which is related to heavy menstrual bleeding and women undergoing hysterectomies, so which may be avoided in many cases.
Right. Moving on, I wanted to understand, you know, what is your take on AI? Because today everybody is talking about AI, and in your business, in your profile, you know, how do you think, you know, AI plays a role?
So, yeah, it definitely is a disruption. You know, some insights which are available, like, you know, as per a study by PwC, 78% of the CEOs consider they're upbeat about AI. And however, like, you know, there are other reports as well, like from the McKinsey Global Institute, that AIs might displace around 400 to 800 million jobs by 2030, but it would also create 555 to around 900 million jobs. So basically, the economy from a AI, generative AI perspective, will grow by around $13 trillion, which is like huge, by 2030, and all industries will have to move towards adoption. So same is the case with even the pharma sector. Some of the things that are helping us in general in pharma, and which is anticipated as well, that you know, new drug discovery might become more easier because you know, it can get more predictable. Then clinical trials can become more easier because, you know, you would exactly know what are the protocols that can be done. That can be helped through AI coming into picture. And of course, I think for every industry, what is true is it would, of course, help in analytics. It would help in content creation, personalization of content. Some of it in our own lives, we can see that it has already come in with personal assistance with Alexa or say other models which are available. Maybe in the near future, we would also see self-driving cars in our own you know, vicinities. So the actual implications is, you know, unfolding, and we will have to keep adapting to it. I think that's what our take is. At our own level, I think it would be, AI would play a very important role, as I said, you know, but it currently being in pharma, we are using it very judiciously because we need to have the correctness of the data, you know, no infringements. Then also to look at from a compliance perspective, since it's a highly regulated market.
Got that. I wanted to understand, you know, because, you know, your career is almost, you know, as long as, or rather more than two decades, you know, you have spent in your career. So the question here is that, you know, how has the role of marketer changed over the years? You have seen the transition yourself, you know, being a professional for more than 20 years. So what is your take on this?
So I think absolutely it has changed over the years. While the fundamentals haven't changed, but I think the way we work has drastically changed. Like, if I have to compare a few aspects, it would be number one is data. Like, initially, there was limited data support, which was there, no real-time data, you know, in many cases. Data, there was lag in data, and analytics were also not so easily available to support the marketing decisions. But now we can see, you know, most of our decisions are data-driven. And that's a big change. Real-time access to data is possible, so decisions can be faster, and support given to the executioners or, you know, people who are working down the line, it becomes easier. And this I'm talking about a horizon of, say, the last, you know, 15 years. Metrics are more well-defined now. Initially, it was all traditional marketing, you know, with prints and, you know, just print inputs and everything. But now we have the digital marketing aspect also, I mean, like very, very strongly coming in every, you know, every stakeholder that we are associated with. Approach to insight generation and, you know, identification of these insights is more pronounced now. involvement of stakeholders like patients themselves is increasing now. This is, you know, because as I previously mentioned, this is to understand what issues they really go through and to design plans and outputs that would really help. So that has become more better. So definitely leading to a better quality of life for the stakeholders who are involved, like, you know, the patients and offered by the healthcare professionals. Internally, I think trainings to team have been, you know, different. It's digitalized. Earlier, it was like, you know, maybe once in 3 months or, you know, once in 6 months meeting, which used to happen. But now we can connect with the teams more often. And one of the challenges also, which is there, or one, well, I mean, it's more like a learning. The need for adaptability, creativity and innovation has increased, you know, paramount. There's a paramount increase in creativity and innovation. I think one thing that has not changed, I'd like to add here, is the approach to people or the consideration of the human angle. I think that is constant because technology might come, but ultimately it's people we are, you know, talking about. Whatever initiatives, whatever activities are happening are for the people and the patients. So from that perspective, that part remains the same, but there are several changes for better, I think.
True, I think, and especially in your industry where, you know, you deal with health of people, you know, empathy is something which is of paramount importance. So the human element can never be, you know, playing second fiddle to any other factor. That's very true. Yeah.
True, Mehul.
So CG, would you like to share any growth stories that, you know, come on top of your head from your illustrious career? You have ran so many campaigns, you have done so many things in your career. Anything that you would like to share?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, it's been like through the span of the journey that I've had in my career, I actually started with sales in my career. And I think from a growth perspective, it has to do with winning awards, you know, which is a testimony to performance. Right from the start of my career, when I was in sales, being amongst the top performers, getting shortlisted for award events, like being the top sales person in India, you know, top performer in APAC, top business development manager, you know, when I was in a role of business development with Allergan. These have been motivating things. Getting promoted and being the youngest, you know, area manager was one of the things early on in my career. When I moved into marketing, it was also to do with, you know, winning marketing excellence awards at an APAC level in years, in you know, through the years. And also our marketing initiatives getting recognition externally, you know, has been one of the things. So these are some of the growth things that has been really stimulating. But when we really see, okay, I mean, maybe early on in the career, all these really, really matter. But over the years, what I've seen is that growth and expansion in therapy areas, you know, that we are operating in, you know, to see the shift, the changes that have happened and which impacts a lot of patients, okay, the way the practice is done also changes. So these coupled with market share growth for brands and steering and strengthening leadership position has been a great, great differentiator. And I mean, of course, there are, when it comes to growth, challenges are always there. And there are tremendous learning that came down the way from understanding and managing difficult customers, managing teams, and also difficult situations. So looking at the big picture is something of a shift that has happened over a period of years to understand why, you know, why we are doing what we are doing, which applies to even the marketing aspect. And so the scale of impact is what it matters now, you know, what I'm able to channelize and drive and keeping people at the center. So these are some of the growth aspects, I think, you know, would be helpful for professionals in general and especially people in the healthcare industry.
Wonderful, wonderful. I think we are, you know, now coming to the last leg of the podcast. So I wanted to ask you, self-awareness and managing energy and stress are important for every professional. So how do you address this?
Yeah, I think rightly said, Mehul. I think health and wellness self-awareness is very critical. This is vital for one's growth. And what I believe is that health and wellness is the foundation for everything that we do, we are able to do, you know, to have those life experiences and also to enable fulfillment. And while we are doing all this in the fast-paced life, stress is inevitable. And managing stress, you know, need not be a daunting task. Understanding and being in the present, how it is affecting one, like, you know, in every individual, can facilitate the release of stress. And what I believe is every individual would have their own model that will work for them. And unlike popular belief, it need not be very difficult. So for me, it is at times, you know, it could be as simple as just breathing with awareness and movement of body, just moving around a little bit wherever you feel the stress. I am a meditation coach. Into meditation. So meditation and sadhana works for me. And there are other activities I also get involved in, like art, travel, and my ritual of, you know, whenever I get time, forest walks in nature, that rejuvenates me. So these are some of the rituals which are there, which would rejuvenate, and also some very simple tips to manage stress. I think find your two top actions is what I would say. And you know, that really helps. So Mehul, you may also have your own you know, top two stress busters, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. We all have to you know, have something or the other, you know, which actually, you know, keeps you sane, so to say.
True.
So yeah, lastly, I would like to ask you, Seji, what are the four key takeaways that you would like to share with our audience before signing off?
Yeah, sure, Mehul. I think what I'll do is I'll mix some of the professional and personal aspects, because we are human and we are working in an environment. It can't be like, you know, professional is separate and, you know, personal aspects are separate. Yeah. So I think very, very simplistically put, I think when it comes to understanding the needs of our customers and stakeholders. Now, these need not be just outside world customers. This could be even our family members, right? I think that is very important, because then it helps us understand, you know, what's going on and to react accordingly, okay? To kind of preempt what's happening, okay, around. So that is critical. That would help in the professional career as well, and as well as in our personal lives. Other thing is incremental growth each day, every day. I think this is something that's you know, that's important. We've already, I mean, everybody would have heard about the you know, power of atomic habits, but when you implement it, you can really see the difference. And that is important. I think it might seem like a small action, but the kind of impact it can have is huge. So I really believe in that, you know, to be one of the key things that everybody, you know, at least who are looking for growth should look for. Next is, in this you know, changing world, how can we be ready for change? I think that's critical. Upskilling ourselves is going to be very, very important. I had come across a very, very interesting, you know, fact that was shared in one of the programs, that whatever change has happened in the last century, like 1901 to 2000, okay, in the last 100 years, happened in 20 years, that is 2001 to 2020, right? So you can see the change, quantum of change that has happened. But post that, it's expected that whatever changes happened in those 100 years, you know, would start happening in 5 years. And we can really see that happening now, right? Between 2021 to now, you know, the kind of changes that we have seen is tremendous. So which means we also need to change and adapt to the rate of change that's happening. So being aware about it, I think, would be one of the important takeaways for me. And lastly, it's about seeking support. So be it family or be it professional help, like from mentors, from leaders, from managers, I think that's going to be critical from a professional perspective. That could really help in growth. Yeah, so these are the four key things that I'd like to share from my end.
Nicely, nicely summed up, Shiji. Thank you so much. So, thanks again for being part of the Growth Genius. Thanks from everyone at InfiDigit.
Yeah, thanks so much, Mehul. Thanks so much for
Great.
having me.
So, this brings us to the end of yet another episode of the Growth Genius. Shiji Nayarkol is someone who believes strongly that awareness about women's health should be made not only amongst women, but amongst the public at large. If you like our content, do like, share, and subscribe across all the social media platforms and also across audio platforms. The links to all of these are given below in the descriptor. So, till the next episode of the Growth Genius, keep learning and keep getting inspired. Thank you.